What's up, guys?
Hello.
Welcome back to a brand new spanking new? Damn, I did that backwards.
Brand new
episode of the Movie Smoothie Podcast. This is episode number 30, the big 30. Trideco.
Trideco.
What is that?
The 30?
Yeah.
XXX.
XXX. Triple X.
Triple X.
Wow.
Which was a terrible movie, but it is a great genre of film.
Mm, but Triple X 2 was shot in Baltimore.
Really?
Yeah, a little tidbit for you. Hanover Street Bridge.
Hmm.
There you go. Not that it matters anybody not from Baltimore.
The movie was also shot in Baltimore's asshole.
Okay.
It was a terrible movie.
Noted.
Wasn't that Ice Cube in it?
Ice Cube, yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, welcome back. It's been a bit since we've had a podcast. We're kind of recovering still from the Oscars and that was and was not at the Oscars.
Right.
We were right on some pieces, not so right on the other things.
Most things were mostly wrong, though, I think, right? No, absolutely not. The bigger ones I was correct
I think
about.
I was more right than you, though.
You were right about the smaller ones.
I think
ones.
If we count the numbers, I think I beat you by 20,
but I was
20,
right about
think.
The bigger one, the actors and actresses. And
I think we were pretty even there.
Hugo, man.
Hugo took the technical categories.
It did.
Which we called some of them.
Swept them.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
A technical film, but I don't know. What were some of the upsets? I mean, what are some of the things that disappointed you? I mean,
The best actress.
Yeah, same here,
what
man.
What the hell, man?
It's kind of that thing like where you can't ever argue and say Meryl Streep is a bad actress.
No, but I told
how
you
how could Meryl Streep win?
I told you she was the dark
horse. She's not the dark horse. She's just like that.
She's the white horse.
Yeah, she's the one that will always get it.
Right, she always does.
As soon as she's in contention or even in the conversation, you're just like, you could have had the performance of your career, right, of any actress career, and you're like, oh, damn it. Meryl's in the conversation.
Yeah.
I should have just never even made that movie now.
She just stacks the deck.
Oh, man, poor Viola Davis.
Yeah.
Maybe next year.
She definitely deserved it.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know.
Bit of an upset.
Yeah.
Everything else is pretty on par. Actor, film, screenplay. A lot of the things were on. You know, one of the films I was able to see since the Oscars, I didn't see it when we did our picks, was the Best Documentary Feature Film Award winner, which was Undefeated.
Right.
Which I saw at a screening after the Oscars. And, you know, I picked Paradise Lost 3 because I hadn't seen Undefeated. I'd heard that was probably going to win, and I can totally see why it won. I know that movie's coming out, I think, next week across the country. It's opening in Baltimore soon, but incredible documentary. I love sports films, sports documentaries. I love high school football, Friday Night Lights. Anybody that loves, as a fan of any of that stuff, of human emotion, I feel like would really enjoy Undefeated, and I think that anybody that has a chance to see it, if it opens near you, go out and see it. I'm not going to lie, I cried multiple times during that movie.
Wow.
Dude, it is emotional. You need to check it out. Anybody else out there that can get access to it, definitely do yourself a favor and watch it.
Yeah. And then Papa Diddy Pop.
Papa Diddy Pop, yep, he produced it.
Papa Diddy Pop, P. Diddy.
He has an Oscar produced, now. Right?
The crazy.
God damn him.
Right, right.
What doesn't he have?
I don't know, man. He has an alcohol company that's super successful.
Clothing.
Music.
Music, movies.
Yeah.
Wasn't he with J-Lo?
He was with J-Lo.
God damn.
He acted in that movie. What's the one with Halle Berry having sex with
Monsters Ball?
Billy Bob Thornton? Yeah.
Monsters Ball.
Wow. He's had a pretty illustrious.
He's had a good life.
Illustrious career.
Wow.
Papa Diddy Pop.
you know, if he calls himself that a week from now,
right?
He listened to this podcast.
Right. Called it.
You're going to be pissed because you should have trademarked that shit.
I know. I should definitely trademark it ASAP. So, we've seen a lot of movies. Well, is it more me or you?
I think you've just been really bored and not so much of a life as I have.
Right.
I don't know. I take that back.
No. See, that's a legitimate point.
Now, you've seen a lot of movies in the past couple weeks.
Being single and completely just doing things for myself, I realize I just don't have a lot
AKA selfish? Or
right. So, I just have a lot of time. Maybe I should just devote some time to, like, mentor some kids in the city or something.
Do something
like that.
Good, maybe?
Right.
Volunteer.
Right.
Soup kitchens.
Something like that. Because right now, all I'm doing is work and going to sleep. Yeah.
Work, sleep, watch movies.
I think I need to give back to the community that I come from. So I want to do that.
All right, that's your challenge for the week, Ronald. Now that we've had this heart to heart.
Challenge.
And you've had a massive realization on our podcast.
Crazy.
Back to the movies again.
Right. So we both saw Safe House, right?
We saw Safe House, yeah.
A couple weeks ago. We didn't talk about that.
We didn't. We've seen a couple movies over the past few weeks. I think that's kind of this podcast, just to kind of get it out there.
Oh, we didn't even summarize.
It's going to be very casual. Very casual. Did a little bit with the Oscars. We're going to talk about some movies that we've seen over the past couple weeks. Just kind of a catch-up.
Easy breezy.
You know, easy breezy.
Easy breezy.
And then we're going to also talk about a couple topics later on in the podcast that you and I talk about all the time. And, you know, hopefully you guys can weigh in on it.
Yeah.
And kind of listen to our opinions on a couple things. But on to these films that we've seen. Safe House, Ryan Reynolds, Denzel Washington. Robert Patrick is in it in a small role. I always got to give my shout outs to the T-1000.
Right. I don't know what he's become. I mean, not to just
completely. He's a Terminator.
Right. He was Terminator. He had a big role.
I'm pretty sure he is, actually.
He's been kind of reduced to these, like,
straight. He was also in the X-Files when Duchovny left. I don't know if you were an X-Files.
Really?
Guy. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's just a little tidbit for you, Ronald.
Tidbit, yeah.
He took over, yeah.
I never watched X-Files.
One of my favorite of all time. Anyway, Safe House, it's probably still in theaters now, I don't know, I kind of just saw it as just like an entertaining, nearly 2-hour action, you know, a popcorn movie.
I mean, wasn't...
Now, you're making fun of me when I told you that I liked it, and now you're saying it's solid.
It was solid, I mean...
Make your mind up.
This is what I liked
about it. Stop being so seesaw-y.
The story was so mediocre, but I think that the action, if you're looking for action, look no further than this movie. From the moment that it picks up, which takes a little while, to the moment that it ends, it's action packed.
If you like those like really close up action shots, literally like where the camera is so close to the people participating in the action that you can't almost tell what's going on. Get lost.
That's uncomfortable. Dark Knight, I think about
some people hate that. I love that. I don't know if it's like it makes me feel like I'm involved or. Maybe that I don't see it so perfectly makes it more gritty and more real for me.
What it signifies to me, kind of a weird thing, is that the people that do these spectacular things, just to kind of get that sort of first-person view of how it happens, you realize that it takes a lot of skill to block punches and steer a car in traffic while being shot at. And it kind of creates that intensity that you don't really get, you know, while watching a movie normally. And that grants you a little more perspective. But it does. That doesn't make up for the fact that the story kind of sucked. It was lacking a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the story is pretty cookie cutter. I mean, there's a lot of predictability in it. I mean, I think Denzel Washington always shows up. I mean, I feel like he's solid in most things that he does.
Right.
And it's amazing, like, sometimes how he can turn a scene around and, like, you know, basically the snap of a finger.
Definitely.
That strong, silent moment that he has in a lot of his films where you just, like, know he's thinking so much and saying so much with, like, his facial expressions and, you know, a lack of doing anything, that he's just, you know, I feel like he's solid all around.
There's a Baltimorean in this movie.
Wait, let me think about it. A Baltimorean.
And she is beautiful to me.
Oh, wow. I don't know who this is.
I would do crazy.
Oh, Tracy Toms.
Yeah, Tracy Toms. Tracy Toms, Baltimorean.
Tracy Toms.
Quick sort of.
I met her.
Cameo. Really?
Yeah, when we had a premiere here in Baltimore for Rent. When I used to work for my own job.
I loved Rent.
She had a screening, like, to benefit. I don't know if, like, the Baltimore School of Arts or something like that. She had a screening for them. But, yeah, nice
girl. She is beautiful to me.
Yeah.
So, Safe House. Yeah, you want to check it out, check it out. Did we talk about Ghost Rider?
You can talk about Ghost Rider because I tried tried with every will that I had and every force of nature I could conjure to prevent you from seeing Ghost Rider.
What can I say
about... And yet I still got you into a screening.
What can I say about Ghost Rider 3D Spirit of Vengeance that hasn't been said about the Bush administration? It was...
It's probably nothing. There's nothing else that you could probably say.
It's so dead, so bad.
Did we just get political on here?
Did. That got randomly political.
Oh, new demo.
Ooh. We gotta put that tag in there.
Oh God! George Hashtag, Bush, keyword
Republican. Yeah, so bad.
But you wanted to see it so bad,
right? Because the people that did
Crank,
they did Crank, did this. It was. I don't know. The problem is, I think Nicolas Cage is actually not so bad. His issue is somebody needs to reel him in, man. Like. I think that what happens is I think that these directors kind of have him and they're starstruck and they're just like, be you, do you. And that could be one of the worst things in the world.
Do you think you could honestly reel Nicolas Cage in?
I think he can be reeled
in. No, you.
No, absolutely not. It would take a Quentin Tarantino type.
I agree with that. That is...
He's a domineering character, and he would if he kind of got him into a role where he could be crazy. But I think that Quentin Tarantino has too big of an idea of what he wants the film to be to allow somebody like him to steer
and overshadow
and overshadow what the feeling that he wants to convey in the movie is going to be.
Yeah,
that's the problem, and I feel like with these directors, they're young. Crank was a success, but that really kind of the power in that movie, what drove it is the personality of the lead.
Yeah.
I mean, like every other movie, but like the characters in the movie were cool, but I mean, at the end of the day, Jason Statham kind of pushed that movie forward and they kind of took the same approach with Ghost Rider rather than letting the story kind of lend itself to his acting. Didn't do that. He was just crazy as shit the whole movie, and it was hard to watch.
That is anything and everything I would have expected from that film.
Right.
But I'm glad you went to see it and hated it. It's one of those wonderful, like, you want to hang on to those I told you so.
Right, okay. Yeah, you got
it. Let's talk about Chronicle.
Let's talk about it.
We didn't have a chance to talk about that. I saw that on a double feature.
I feel so bad, man. I feel so bad that we didn't devote an entire episode to Chronicle, but this movie...
We could have easily. You know what? I'm going to apologize for that because I saw it late.
Right.
That's on me. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, so...
Chronicle, if it's still in theaters, it's probably... I think it is.
Yeah.
But if it is, you want to check this film out. It is one of those little gems that just comes up every so often throughout the year.
Right. I mean, it's a found footage film that has a different direction because it's not a spooky movie. It's about three kids, very different in their social standings in the high school. And they discover this incredible sort of thing in the base of this cave. And it changes their lives. It's pretty damn incredible. Alex Russell, who plays Matt, Michael B. Jordan, that plays Steve Montgomery, who is a class president. Oh, he's running for class president.
Yeah.
Michael B. Jordan, you may have seen him in stuff like The Wire.
He was in Red Friday Tales, Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
He's a strong actor.
Solid.
He's super charismatic in this movie.
Yeah.
Which I think that it's what kind of drives this, the kind of contrast between him and Dane DeHaan, is that how you pronounce it?
I think it's DeHaan, yeah.
DeHaan, okay. Yeah. Andrew Deppner, who is basically he's the polar opposite of Steve Montgomery. He is a loser. Nobody likes him. He's ignored. And his cousin, Matt, is kind of the only sort of tie that he has to any sort of social life in high school.
And you wonder if it's anything just because he's cousin.
Right.
You
know? And
he's the in-between, you know?
Right, he's kind of an in-between. But when they discover this gem kind of sitting in the cave, they get these powers, and their lives change. And they become kind of bonded from this experience of kind of discovering these powers, and they develop together. And it's all done in a found footage way, which is incredible because I think we're so used to seeing scary movies that do the found footage approach that when you see something that's a little different and seeing the found footage stuff with special effects weaved into it, and it's really nice.
Yeah.
It's refreshing.
You know, honestly, I thought it was talking about the handheld kind of camera found footage films again. I think it's one of the most well-done ones I've seen recently, mainly because it has such a wow factor.
It does.
You know, I think that there's so many moments in the film when literally I turned to my girlfriend and I saw it, you know, when these guys get these superpowers and they're starting to realize them and develop them and learn them. And, you know, when they're able to fly, you know, like there's a moment when, you know, there's something so, even though you know it's not real, there's something much more real about experiencing it with these innocent kids than seeing it in, like, you know, a Superman or a Green Lantern film or some big action film because it's so grounded. It's me and you that find this gem and one day we're able to fly. Yeah. You literally feel the excitement that they feel. And not only that, the way the story unfolds, and it really gets deeper throughout the story by following Andrew's personal life, you know, and how dark and how, you know, I guess mentally, physically, emotionally abused this kid's been, and how that past starts to affect these powers that he's developed. Yeah, yeah. And that's where the story really kicks up.
It's really interesting. It's this whole, like, I don't know if you ever heard the term bee in a jar. Like, there's a story yep. about a bee, and the bee keeps hitting its head on the top. And then eventually the jar comes off, and he keeps kind of bracing himself at the top of the jar, which is essentially what this kid is. Like, his social life changes significantly, but he's so caught up in the ideas of who he is, who he was, and who he thinks he'll be forever. And he doesn't realize that his personal life has changed, the dynamic of his friendships have changed, and these people really care about him. And seeing a person kind of crumble in that way is really pretty incredible.
It's a great film. One of the best films I've seen so far this year. I don't know, top three or something like that.
Good
ass. You got to see it if you can get a hold of it while it's still in theaters. And I'm really excited for the filmmaker, Josh Trank. He's the director of the film. Just reading some stuff about how his career is going from the reception of this film. I read something the other day that he's possibly going to be doing the Venom spinoff from the Spider-Man franchise.
Wow.
Could be cool. I don't know. I mean, this is a film that makes a filmmaker.
Yeah.
You know, and this is an amazing... It's an amazing feat. I think he's done an amazing job, and I hope this guy gets everything that's coming his way, because I loved Chronicle.
I don't see this movie being knocked out of at least my top 20.
For the year.
Like, I don't see it happening. I don't see that many movies coming out this year that'll
Because it's uncommon.
Yeah, it's very uncommon.
Sure, superheroes are common.
Right.
You know, found footage films are common. You know, high school melodrama is common.
Right.
But there's such a nice fusion of those elements in this film that you don't feel as predictable, you know, you don't feel as bored by it or as washed out as some of the genres are on their own.
Right.
And the fact that for the most part, relatively unknown people, so there's not a lot of association with the exception of Michael B. Jordan.
Right.
But a lot of people still don't know him.
Right. And he's coming up, but yeah you're right.
And that may be a film that does it for him.
Unknown people. Pretty unknown people. It's nice to see. I'm really glad that they chose pretty unknown people.
Right.
To kind of come into this and bring something fresh, because if you're familiar with a lot of the leads that they choose a lot of the times for these types of movies, you know where it's going to lead. And I think that because they chose new people, unknown people, fresh faces, it makes it a lot more enjoyable.
Chronicle, go see it. Chronicle, you got to check it out.
Speaking of found footage movies,
yeah,
can we transition to Project X?
Go for it.
Okay, so Project X. Came out, when did this come out? Came out March 2nd.
Last Friday.
And it is another found footage movie, which is another kind of spin on something I had been kind of beaten over the head, but this is a little different. It's a found footage movie about three seniors who want to throw a party for a guy, and the guy's unknown. Thomas is a very, very unpopular guy. And they feel that this is going to be his senior year. It's going to change for him. Everything's going to change. And there's a gentleman. His name is Costa. Costa pretty much plans to make his life great.
Best night of his life.
And he does. But at the cost of pretty much everything within a 2-block radius kind of being destroyed. It is a really fun movie to watch. It's wildly kind of inappropriate. Lots of dick jokes, lots of vagina jokes and sex jokes. I mean, but that's how people are in high school.
I haven't seen it yet. I want to see it. I haven't been out to the film or to the theater recently. I've heard good things, though. I mean, it looks like, I know when I've seen the trailer, it's a movie that I've said out loud, I want to see that. It's almost like a guilty pleasure because... As we're growing up, I still love watching those high school comedies.
I'm not going to stop.
I can't wait for the new American Pie to come out.
I don't know how I feel about the American Pie. I'm excited,
man. American Pie, man. Ugh. You can just drink that. That just talking about American Pie just gives me a tunnel back to high school.
Those are really good movies.
It just makes me think of senior year or whatever.
Very strange. This one looks strange. It looks like the vibe of it is different.
We'll have to talk about it when it comes out.
We're going to have to. We have to see it.
Project X is in theaters, though, so go check it out.
Yeah, Project X.
It's Ronald's recommendation.
Yeah, my recommendation. Oh, is it really a recommendation?
I don't know. You sounded like you liked it.
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it, man.
Was it fun?
It was very
fun. Was it
funny? It was funny.
Okay, I check
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, it's solid.
I think that's what that film like that's going after.
Right. Yeah.
You're not gonna throw this film up for an Oscar the end of the year.
You will laugh a lot.
All right.
A great deal.
Then I'm going to see it.
Right. Right.
If I don't like it, you're paying me back.
I guess I'm gonna have to. Can I pay you in pesos?
As long as you take me south of the border.
Okay. Oh man.
Oh.
This just got sexually charged.
Sexually. Geographically, I thought.
Sexually and geographically.
Why not do both?
Simultaneously.
So what else have we seen?
Wanderlust.
You saw that again.
You saw that.
I did not see that.
Oh, I saw that.
You saw that.
Okay, Wanderlust. So, this is something I'm going to say precursor. Paul Rudd is in a lot of mediocre movies. He is. He is, I'll say this. And I think that this was,
a mediocre one?
No.
Oh, better than mediocre.
It's better than mediocre. David Wayne, like this dude is from, Tim and Eric.
I don't know him from that. I know him from Wet Hot American Summer.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Wet Hot American Summer was a very, very funny movie. Speaking of which, Michael Ian Black is in the movie.
Oh, I love him.
Michael Ian Black and Michael Showalter.
Yep.
I think they're incredible. But the movie's basically about...
Well, that goes back to, like, The State. I don't know if you remember The State when it was... Like, those guys were all together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a huge fan of Mike Wayne Black. So this movie kind of takes place when a couple, Jennifer Aniston plays a character named Linda. Paul Rudd plays a character named George. And they're coming on the tough times. They lose their house in Manhattan because the breadwinner, George, lost his job. So they're kind of scrambling. They go down to Atlanta, and George spends the time with his loser brother, played by Ken Marino. So funny. If you've ever seen...
Also co-writer of the script.
Oh, right. If you've ever seen him in anything, Party Down especially.
Yeah.
You kind of know it. His sort of physical comedy and... He's a very funny guy. So this guy's an asshole, and he decides that he doesn't want to live with his brother. So they go to this commune. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so.
Commune? It's commune or commune?
Commune.
Okay, all right. Which is basically like a hippie sort of estate, open-mindedness, weed smoking, lots of sex.
Brothel.
Yeah, and it pretty much puts them in a different place because it's basically everything that they hadn't experienced while living in the busy city, kind of taking it easy, living life one day at a time, not stressing over material gain, but it creates a sort of finding a relationship. Some really bad things start to happen as a result.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't sound like that's a funny movie, but it's really, really funny and inappropriate and gross and I think that this is Paul Rudd's strongest role.
Really?
Paul Rudd hasn't been allowed to be a star in a movie, I feel like. He's always playing second to somebody.
He's always playing second fiddle.
Yeah, second
fiddle. Well, he had I Love You, Man.
Oh, good movie.
I love you, man.
Good movie. But this was stronger, I feel like, acting-wise.
Okay.
And it's just a really good movie. And he was funny as hell in it. I think that kind of the combination of everybody that's in it, especially Ken Marino.
Huge cast.
Huge cast.
Justin Theroux, Alan Alda, Malin Ackerman.
Yeah. Malin.
So pretty.
She is gorgeous. Her eyes, incredible. But it's a really good cast. I think it's worth checking out.
Do I see that or Project X? Because I haven't seen either one.
Probably Wanderlust.
Wanderlust and then sneak into Project X?
Yeah.
All right, that's what I'll
probably,
do.
Probably in that order. I think Wanderlust has like a... It's a real... Kind of some rough sort of subject matters that they tackle in a really funny way. Just kind of like, I mean, when you have a situation where everything, money is a focus in relationships. Mm. So when you have that sort of thing uprooted and it and all you have is love.
Yeah, well, the money a lot of time creates comfort.
Right.
And then when you don't have the money and you realize, oh, well, it's emotion, you don't really feel so comfortable anymore.
Right. So that's essentially what happens. It's there's this once the money is gone, all you have is the love you have for someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a funny movie.
Did you want to throw a quick shout out to 21 Jump Street?
Okay.
Because I know you saw it forever ago. I saw another movie that I haven't seen.
Man,
I gotta set my game up.
I'm gonna be completely honest with you.
I loved the 21 Jump Street show when I was younger.
Right, nothing like that. I think
at all.
I think what they did was they kind of had the idea of police officers going undercover.
Yeah,
and being in this high school environment, then they were like, you know what? Why don't we call it 21 Jump Street? That's what it felt like.
What a creative idea.
I don't like the idea of TV shows being made into movies and stuff like that, but this reminds me of one of those movies that kind of has the perfect amount of old elements from the TV show.
Because
there are some guest appearances,
mm-hmm.
some interesting surprises.
Can't wait.
And the dynamic of Channing Tatum and Jonah Hill actually works really well, in fact.
I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Right.
I am really excited to see it. I was supposed to see it last week, and things changed that plan, but...
Is Dave Franco...
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
What, his brother?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's James Franco's...
Brother. He was in Fright Night. We had this conversation when we saw Fright Night.
It's the same guy. Holy.
We were like, wow, he looks like James Franco.
He is his brother.
He literally has his DNA in him.
Right.
I mean, some piece of it.
I am in love with Brie Larson, who was in this. D. Ray Davis was a comedian. Ice Cube.
He was, or is he still?
Yeah, is a comedian. He's been in a lot of movies. I don't know if he's even done comedy anymore. Chris Parnell is incredible. There is an incredible... there's an incredible cameo from a local Baltimore artist.
Really?
Yeah, you probably don't know who she is.
She is, okay.
But it's obscure as shit.
But you enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Okay. I mean, if you are a fan of Underground Baltimore Club, you will appreciate the cameo. All
right. So if I will not, have no appreciation for it then.
You will not have any appreciation for it whatsoever. But yeah, it's solid, man. It's funny. It's right really, really funny.
Yeah, you know, the filmmakers, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, I've always been a fan of theirs. I mean, most people probably know them from their animated film, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
That was so good.
Excellent.
So good.
I used to watch a show on TV called Clone High. I don't know. Did you ever watch Clone High?
With,
it was like
at Gandhi.
Gandhi, JFK.
My sister is in love with this show.
Yeah, Cleopatra.
Cleopatra, yeah.
Abe Lincoln. Oh, no. Yeah, Abe Lincoln.
Yeah, you're right.
Awesome show. Basically, if all these historical figures all went to the same high school and all the cliques and whatnot.
Really good idea.
They were writers and directors on that show. And I don't know. I think, again, we talked about the filmmaker from Chronicle, Josh Trank, and these kinds of guys. This is like this exciting crop I see, you know. Films that... They're big movies, but maybe they don't go huge. But these filmmakers kind of like, they're hovering, you know what I mean? Like, it's like the next crop, I feel, of what will be maybe a couple years from now, like the Christopher Nolans. Maybe not as dramatic, but, you know,
those
filmmakers that are the go-tos.
Right.
You know, because, I mean, you have this duo, we talked about Josh Trank, and there's so many out there that have been putting out films that have been really consistent. I feel like... Nicholas Windig Refn from Drive and Bronze. Like, I think he's one of them.
Yeah.
You know, successful films, but maybe not blockbusters.
Maybe
21 Jump Street does well. Maybe it steps up a little bit.
I think it's going to be that DVD Blu-ray hit.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? I think it's going to be a sleeper. Speaking of kind of the young sort of writers and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
I'm liking a lot of the stuff that Seth Rogen's doing.
Yeah.
And
Spirit
the new
Awards.
Movie, Neighborhood Watch. Yes.
His monologue.
Oh, the monologue was incredible. Yeah. I thought it was really, really funny.
He was hilarious.
Yeah. Hilarious. Neighborhood Watch.
Oh, yeah. So the trailer just came out for
right.
that.
Right. Akiva Schaffer, who was a part of the Lonely Island sort of group.
Yeah.
He did the one with, I cannot remember his name. He did Hot Rod. He did Hot Rod, which was a very, very funny movie. if you're into the type of humor that you know, the Lonely Island sort of humor.
Mm-hmm.
This one's going to be starring Jonah Hill, Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Richard Ayoade. Ayoade, damn it.
You'll get it one of these days.
Will Forte. It's a jam-packed cast about some suburban dads that are pretty much protecting a neighborhood, and this is coming out pretty soon. I think you should watch out for this movie. It's going to be good.
And it's got a sci-fi element because they end up having to protect the neighborhood from...
right.
Aliens.
Like, you could tell Seth Rogen wrote it. Man, like, something about that seems very, like, Paul.
Yeah, it does. It does. Right. And it also, a little bit like, if you ever saw The Burbs with Tom Hanks,
right.
Like, they kind of had that whole little quaint neighborhood, you know, kind of suburbia. Yeah. And then, you know, it's kind of dark. I think this film's going to be a little, have a dark edge to
it,
too.
Oh, people are going
to
die. Absolutely. That's why I like Seth Rogen as a writer. He's not afraid to let a couple people die in a script.
I'm down with that.
So, I'm looking forward to that. Any other movies you're looking forward to?
Of the new trailers that have come out, I know I haven't read the books. So we've been talking about it, but I'm excited to see The Hunger Games.
Oh, my God.
I know you just listened/read them, one of the others.
Yes, okay.
And you've been raving. Yeah. I'm excited for that.
Do you know the premise of this story?
Yeah, yeah.
Going to be incredible.
Yeah. I think it's pretty huge, pretty epic. I'm curious to see how it comes out on the screen.
Yeah, I think that what's kind of happening is this sort of culture where people are reading books, you know what I mean? And then there's in the past 10 years or so, there's been a crazy amount of books adapted for a movie.
Sure.
And it's becoming a big thing, and this is one of those series. I think that it has an edge. It's not like Harry Potter. This is set up for people to die. Like, it's not. If you don't know what the story is about, basically, in the future, the United States has been reduced to 12 districts.
Yeah.
And the name of the nation is Panem, and the 12 nations, because there was. Basically an uprising that destroyed the United States. The government has punished Panem, which is formerly the United States, North America, and made it a sort of tournament where two people from each district get chosen to fight in the Hunger Games. Now, there's a little craziness about it because the rich people don't quite go in as much. What makes the Hunger Games so interesting is your name gets kind of put into a pot in your district when you're 12 years old. As you age, another ballot gets put in. So when you're 12, you get one, 13, two, and so forth up until the point where you're 18. Now, the poorer people in the area and the districts are allowed to basically give maybe another ballot. They put another ballot in to feed their families. So basically, the poorer people have more ballots in to be chosen for this sort of Hunger Games. So what you start to find out during the course of the story, and this is just a portion of it, is that poorer people are more likely to be in the tournament than the richer people. So it starts off with that. The main character's name is Katniss, and it kind of takes off from there. Katniss is a poor person in District 12, and she gets chosen to, well, through some crazy circumstances, to be in the Hunger Games.
Sure.
It's so amazing. The story is so amazing. It has a lot of commentary about, like, society and how we treat poor people and the way we televise really weird things and the way we televise scandal and the way we do it and what's real and what's not. And there's a lot of blurring of the lines in terms of that stuff.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. I like the edge it has to it, and I'm definitely excited to see it.
People die. That's what you need to know. And that's the difference between that and a lot of other movies. So,
right on.
Hopefully it becomes
I'm just as a quick mention, I'm also kind of looking forward to John Carter.
Yes.
Of Mars. Yes. And, I don't know the source material. Trailers as they've been coming out have got me more and more excited for it.
Is this a book or something?
In the coming weeks.
John Carter's a book?
Yeah.
Gee, what isn't a book now? That's crazy. What isn't based off
of it? It's an adaptation of, I think it's Edgar Burroughs.
Oh, okay.
Novel.
Really?
Yeah, I've never heard of it before hearing about the film, but I'm excited because Andrew Stanton is the filmmaker behind it.
Right.
I've always been a fan of his with all of his Pixar success with Finding Nemo and WALL-E, so I'm just really curious to see how those storytelling abilities translate to, like, you know, action film.
There's something really strange about the contrast of how crazy this movie looks, all special effects, and such a simple name, John Carter. Yeah, you would think his name would be Xerxes or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's coming from, like, a post-Civil War, I think, America. So, oh, okay. You know, it's got to be common.
Gotcha.
You know. But moving away, just, you know, that's basically some of the films we've caught up on and what we're looking forward to in the next couple weeks. We're going to kind of talk about a topic now that you and I always talk about, and it's actually been a point with our podcast that we've never really been able to come up with a rating system.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to spend a few minutes to talk about this, and we'll kind of this will kind of wrap up our show. But I think it's not only challenging to come up with one that you are satisfied with,
right?
But it's also challenging because you don't know what that means to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about stars, mm-hmm. letters, popcorn buckets, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to quantify it. You know, when you see a film sometimes, and on the other side of it, to read a review as a watcher or a viewer of films, it's hard for me to relate how one person's number or their star, you know?
Right. What if somebody's...
What it means to me, or you, or anybody.
I mean, we have... I think we have fairly high standards for movies. And in us giving the meh about something... might be that thing that could make somebody not see the movie at all.
Right.
So I guess what I said to you when I first came in was I hate numerical ratings for something. I hate to have like a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10 or something like that. Only because really in my head there are only three things that I would say: see it, go see it, or maybe see it.
See it, go see it,
don't
or
see
maybe.
It.
Oh, see, oh it. See it, don't see it, or maybe.
Maybe see it.
So that's just a yes, no, maybe.
Yeah.
Meh. So in somebody might say that's still,
yeah.
A scale.
It is a scale, but it's not quite as open-ended as like the five.
As broad.
Right. For example, if we saw Ghost Rider together, we rated it, and I was like, don't fucking see this movie. That's it. That's how I feel about it. I don't want to give it. I don't.
Well, now don't fucking see this movie. Sounds like that's a whole other category besides don't see it.
Now
we have four categories.
Oh yeah, don't see it.
Somebody might say that's like a 4-star system.
I hate the whole.
I'm playing devil's advocate just to mess around with you.
I give you 3 stars.
But I agree though. I mean, it's really hard because you know I could go. Let's just take some films we talked about. We could go see Chronicle,
mm-hmm.
and if we were on a 10 scale, you know, we might say, oh, man, that movie was like an 8 or a 9.
Right.
You know, and then you might go see Wanderlust and say, oh, that was an 8. But two very different films,
right.
And it's really hard for me to tell you by one number why you give it that. If you and I can sit down and have a conversation, I'd rather tell you more than a number. But that's the way that a lot of people just want a quick thing, you know?
Does that destroy the credibility of something? If you say... Wanderlust was an 8 in your head. And they're like, well, they said that Project X was an 8. You know what I mean? Like, would that be?
Well, I mean, it's also, you use it as a benchmark. Because if you told me one day that Project X was an 8 and I went and saw it and I hated it.
You're right.
Not only would I ask myself, well, what does an 8 mean to Ronald? But I would say, okay, well, the next comedy comes out. Maybe we just have different sense of humor. And that's very possible.
Yeah.
You know? But, I mean, I think that's the dilemma, is that you need ratings because not everybody has the time to sit down and have a conversation like you and I do to really get an idea of whether we like something or not.
I mean, we could still rate... I mean, that's still rating it, saying if you would see it or not, but giving it a numerical thing or an icon or something like that, it just seems very... dismissive.
See, I'll admit, I always ask somebody, if you had to rate it, what is it, real quick?
Ugh.
And I know my one friend Rob lives up in New York, works for a film studio,
mm-hmm.
very, very knowledgeable in film,
mm-hmm.
current and past. He sees everything. And I'll say, you know what? And I know his taste, though, because he and I have conversation. But I'll say to him, what is it on 10 scale? You know, and he'll tell me, but I have a good gauge of what he says. Right. And I can say, okay, I probably would want to see that, you know, based off of that. But that's because we have that relationship. You know, when you read something in a paper as a, you know, if it's a film critic, you know, John Smith.
Right.
You know, and I read him every week and I kind of get an idea of his ratings and what kind of films he likes. You know, that may not match what I like, but I can use that to kind of at least get an idea, you know. if I'm going to want to see that film or not.
I mean,
at the end of the day, if I want to see it, I'm going to just go see the damn movie.
It's, but I think that a lot of the times, people's opinions about, well, the decisions, the decisions to go see a movie are sometimes swayed by something that they read or hear.
Oh, absolutely.
So a lot of the
time, why they're reading it most times.
Right. So I'll hear something about a movie and then I'll go to, like, I don't know. I for some reason I use IGN. I don't know how this has become my standard.
Right.
It's just because I've read articles and I'm like, that's kind of how I feel about movies. So if I go to see a rating of a movie and I'm like, damn, they gave it a 4 out of 5.
Right.
Wow, that's weird. Especially 21 Jump Street made me want to see the movie because it was rated so highly. I'm like, maybe I should give it a try. I gave it a try. I was like, oh, this is good.
So you responded to the rating.
I responded to the rating.
So
I hate it, though.
You just hate
them. I hate them, though. I hate it, though.
I think it's a love or hate kind of thing with it. I mean, like,
right.
It's tough to always rely on it. If you can have the conversation, that's always the route to go. But ratings, people need a way to filter because there's so much, you know?
You're right.
Like, one of my coworkers, she literally will go to IMDb and look at IMDb and see what its percentage is on IMDb or what the star is.
Which I think is a reasonable
thing. And that's interesting. I've never done that, and I don't think I ever would personally because I would seek other resources personally first.
IMDb I like.
But when you think about it, IMDb is the populace. It's people. You know, it's everybody has an opportunity to go in there and just rate it, and it just, you know, it just accumulates and it averages what the rating is.
Which I think is
so. That's cool. Like a bigger pool of just saying reading one critic's column every week, and him hating a movie doesn't mean that you're going to hate it.
Yeah.
You know, so if you look at a law of averages, IMDb is not a bad thing. I don't really use it, but she literally, that's her guide, and it's pretty true for her actually. Like, she'll be like, yeah, I'll see Drive. It had a 7 or an 8. I think she looks at like 7 or 7.5 or something like that. It has to have.
Really?
Before she'll even consider watching it.
Wow.
But I mean, that it works for her. Right. I mean, but other side of the coin, everybody's got different tastes. You know what I mean? Some movie might have a low rating, but you could watch it and give it a 10. It's right. Weird. That's the joy of it, though. Everybody can take it in a different way.
You watch a movie and think, oh, man, that wasn't so bad. Like, for example, I saw Sleeping Beauty. I thought that movie, it looked creepy as shit, and I heard terrible things about it, and I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It was very interesting that I
thought, like, looking at that now on IMDb, it's got a 5.4.
Right.
So that's literally, if that was a test, that movie failed.
It would have failed.
But, I mean, you watched it and you liked it.
I thought it was pretty decent.
Yeah, well, at least decent, yeah.
Right. That's weird. And then it has, like, the whole, like, top movies of, I don't know if this is all time, but it was 84th out of 500. I guess, I don't know, the movie meter.
Oh, yeah, they have a movie meter that ranks it. Sometimes it's by category, you know, or by genre. I'm not sure about that one. But it's a hot topic. I mean, and we never even still to this day have come up with a true rating system, and maybe we never will.
Right.
Because we like to have the opportunity just to talk about it.
Right, and to just say, would you go see this movie, would you not go see
it? And you can pick up on our taste, and you can kind of listen and draw things from what we say, genres, actors, themes, filmmaking styles that we like or don't like. And you can say, you know what, I saw film A, and I didn't agree with them, so I can check that off that's what I learned from that. Or I saw this one, and I did agree with them. And, you know, next time they talk about that, and if they loved it or hated it, I can probably gauge my interest by that, you know, which is a really good rule of thumb. So,
I don't know, man. So I think we should just...
We'll just keep going as it is.
Until but I mean, we have a definitive...
We wanted to kind of talk about it, because, I mean, we always do talk about the ratings. And, you know, I know that you're not a really big fan of it, and I kind of am, so...
Maybe we'll just come to a compromise at some point.
I think the compromise is the past 30 episodes. We've just kind of been doing it as we've been doing it.
It's been 30 episodes.
Yeah, man.
Jeez.
XXX.
XXX.
Getting dirty up in here.
Getting dirty.
That's going to pretty much wrap it up, though. I mean, it's kind of very loosey-goosey kind of episode. Yeah, loosey-goosey. Like a street woman of the night.
Loosey-goosey.
Loosey-goosey. We'll probably get back to our format that we've been going with next week, probably, once we have a chance to see some other films before opening. But thank you guys so much for listening, as always. Hit
thank
us up
you.
On the MoviesMovie.net website, the Twitter account.
We've been getting a lot of love on the blog, which I really appreciate. We really appreciate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we try to post, like, I think that we go towards more media than news there, like trying to post trailers, posters, because it's something that, you know... is a quick look. You know, you can kind of stop by if you want to follow us on Tumblr or, you know, just kind of stop by every once in a while, bookmark it. We definitely try to get some new posters and trailers. The ones that we spoke about tonight are up there, so you can check it out. Again, movieshmovie.net. And we always have the email address, so any suggestions, feel free to send them our way. But as always, it's been a blast, and thank you guys so much for listening. You've made our day.
Thank you.
Take care. See ya.